I want to get into something that the Archdiocese of Milwaukee posted that is, it shouldn't be a bombshell. For some people, it's this really offensive thing. I think it's great, and I'll explain why. But, you know, for the last several years running, that it's becoming more and more commonplace for people to give their pronouns. So I see it in social media profiles. And I will admit, Cyrus, when I see, like on Twitter, for example, if somebody is unironically putting he, him, she, her, they, them in the social media profile, my initial reaction is, I don't care about anything you might have to say about anything if you make that kind of a dumb decision. And all I have to do is sort of glance to see, like, what are they yammering on about? And sometimes I just say, you know, I think you just need to be muted. I don't know if you take that approach proactively. Sometimes I do. And it's the gender pronouns that are indicative of people who are going along to get along. In some cases, they probably believe in this ideology. In other cases, maybe they don't believe in it, but they figure, you know, I don't want the wear and tear. I don't want to have to deal with people giving me a hard time. You know, I don't want the Twitter mob to come after me. So they just capitulate and they start using the preferred pronouns. You can tell what my preferred pronouns are simply by looking at me. I'm a man. So he, him. Those are the preferred pronouns for men. And you may say, well, what about Leah Thompson, the swimmer for Penn? Well, we'll get into that. We have some stories about that, Cyrus. I don't know if you knew that, but we're going to talk a little bit about that later in the program today. So here is the statement that came out from the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. And I'll tell you right up front, not to prejudice your reception of it, but just to say, I think this is good and helpful and welcome, given all the craziness that's going on around us right now. So the title of this document is Catechesis and Policy on Questions Concerning Gender Theory. Now, policy is a big part of this. In other words, since the Archdiocese administers many different schools, K through 12, and for that matter, also higher education as well, hospitals, skilled nursing facilities, there are many different facets of archdioceses in general, and that would be true of dioceses in some cases. So there are many different aspects of what go on in the archdiocese under which umbrella a document like this would pertain in terms of the policy for employees, etc. So this is the preface. The truth will set you free. Christ's words to his disciples call Christians in every age to embrace the truth of who we are as children of God. For only in embracing the truth can we be set free. This is Christ's promise, to which Catholics assent with mind and heart, and this promise is the foundation of the Church's moral teachings. The Second Vatican Council stated that, quote, inspired by no earthly ambition, the Church seeks but a solitary goal, to carry forth the work of Christ under the lead of the befriending Spirit. And Christ entered this world to give witness to the truth, to rescue and not to sit in judgment, to serve and not to be served. To carry out such a task, the Church has always had the duty of scrutinizing the signs of the times and of interpreting them in light of the gospel. Thus, in language intelligible to each generation, she can respond to the perennial questions which men ask about this present life and the life to come, and about the relationship of one to the other. We must, therefore, recognize and understand the world in which we live, its explanations, its longings, and its often dramatic characteristics. Now, please note that throughout this document that I'm going to read to you verbatim, there are a number of footnotes that will help to clarify or expand upon certain things that are being said in the text. So I would refer you to the document, which Cyrus is going to post on the show Twitter feed at P Madrid Show. It's also available on the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick. You can see it on the lower left there, and it would be worth your time to print it out, maybe email it to friends, what have you. But the footnotes give more detail. So with that commentary about the signs of the times and each generation having to deal with their own circumstances, it proceeds saying, each generation presents moral challenges to which the Church must respond as mother and as teacher. It is ever the duty of the Church both to listen patiently to the struggles of her children and also to instruct them clearly on the path to the fullness of life and freedom. As Pope Paul VI writes, it's an outstanding manifestation of charity towards souls to omit nothing from the saving doctrine of Christ. In the past decade, there has been increased attention paid to gender dysphoria and gender discordance, especially among young children and adolescents, coupled with the widespread notion that the solution to such dysphoria is to affirm one's gender experience, and that's in quote marks, over against one's biological sex. This prompts the church to provide catechesis and policy for all the faithful, and especially for church employees, personnel, and all others who work in parishes, organizations, and institutions of the Catholic Church in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. The church teaches that the human person created in the image and likeness of God is a unified creature composed of body and soul. The soul is the spiritual principle of each human person and the subject of human consciousness and freedom. Yet man is truly himself only when his body and soul are intimately united. The human person is not a soul or a mind that has a body, merely as a biological accessory. Rather, the human person is a body formed by a soul. Human life and love are always lived out in body and spirit, and thus, the body is a vital expression of our whole being. I'm going to repeat that phrase because it's so fundamentally important. They're getting into human anthropology here. Basic human anthropology that a lot of people just have never heard about. So let me reread this sentence. It says, human life and love are always lived out in body and spirit, and thus the body, your body, is a vital expression of our whole being. I'll add, your body is a vital expression of your whole being. So integral, in fact, is the body to who we are as human beings that the body and soul together are fashioned and destined to live forever. The creed expresses a belief in the resurrection of the body, or the belief that all persons will rise again with their own bodies, which they now bear. The body which will one day rise is the very body which each person received as a gift, and in which each person lives out his vocation to holiness. Our biological sex, expressed by our bodies, is a gift from God and is unchangeable. Let's repeat that. I'm going to make it more personalistic to you. Your biological sex, expressed by your body, is a gift from God and is unchangeable. A person's biological sex is expressed in and through the body. It cannot be changed because it is bestowed by God as a gift and as a calling. And the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable, quoting Scripture. Biological sex, and this here is referring to sex as in you are male or you are female. Biological sex is a gift because in the very act of creation, God bestows upon each human being a biological sex. Male and female, he created them, as it says in Genesis. Two sexes that are different, equal, and complementary. It is a calling because we work out our salvation via our masculinity or femininity. In other words, human persons do not experience the freedom and joy of salvation despite their biological sex, but only in it and through it. A person's quote-unquote gender is inseparable from biological sex. Now, that statement right there is enough to get you canned on Twitter. Please understand, that statement right there is enough to get you deplatformed nowadays, because that is the heresy of heresies in the eyes of countless people nowadays who have been so addled by gender ideology that they can't even bring themselves to acknowledge a simple and self-evident truth.
Yes, that's true.
Well, at least she does. You don't want that on your karmic record. You really don't. A person's gender, to repeat it, is inseparable from biological sex. The Catechism states that sexuality affects all aspects of the human person in the unity of his body and soul. Therefore, while biological sex and gender, or the socio-cultural role of sex as well as psychological identity, and some of these terms are being put in quote marks, can be distinguished, but they can never be separated. Should someone experience a tension between biological sex and quote-unquote gender, they should know that this interior conflict is not sinful in itself, but rather reflects the broader disharmony caused by original sin. and often results in the residue of social ills and cultural distortions of what constitutes masculinity and femininity. Such persons should be treated with respect and with charity, and no one should suffer bullying, violence, insults, or unjust discrimination based on such experiences. However, charity needs to be understood, confirmed, and practiced in the light of truth. And thus, such persons should be encouraged to seek harmony between their biological sex and gender, in quote marks, not through a rejection of one or the other, but through turning to Christ and to all that the church provides. Only by turning to Christ can one acknowledge and accept one's sexual identity in every aspect, physical, moral, social, and spiritual. And only through such an acceptance can the human person, in turn, experience the freedom promised by Christ. Respect for creation is also respect for one's biological sex. As Pope Francis writes, it is enough to recognize that our body itself establishes us in a direct relationship with the environment and with other living beings. The acceptance of our bodies as God's gift is vital for welcoming and accepting the entire world as a gift from the Father and our common home, whereas thinking that we enjoy absolute power over our own bodies turns often subtly into thinking that we enjoy absolute power over creation. Learning to accept our body, to care for it, and to respect its fullest meaning is an essential element of any genuine human ecology. Also, valuing one's own body in its femininity or masculinity is necessary if I am going to be able to recognize myself in an encounter with someone who is different. In this way, we can joyfully accept the specific gifts of another man or woman, the work of God the Creator, and find mutual enrichment. It is not a healthy attitude which would seek to cancel out sexual difference because it no longer knows how to confront it. I'd like to pause there for a minute. Although they didn't use the term nominalism, there is a school of thought that is known as nominalism, and it can take a variety of forms, but from a philosophical or human anthropology, you know, the human person as such standpoint, nominalism is the view that there are only like individual things. There are no real categories of things. So there is no such thing according to the nominalist worldview. And many people hold this view nowadays without even knowing the word nominalism. They've never studied the philosophical underpinnings of this worldview, but they nonetheless hold it. And that would be a rejection of categories like male and female. So the nominalist project or the nominalist worldview entails this radical sense that everything is simply individual. You are an individual you. And you can be whatever you decide you want to be. That would be a hallmark of those people who have become infected, I would argue, in terms of their ideological biases. They've become infected with this misunderstanding of reality. So all of that theological and human anthropology discussion paves the way now for this third page, which is the policies that are in place forthwith as a result of this document being promulgated. So here's the policy section. The following policy seeks to provide guidance in applying the church's moral teachings regarding the challenges presented by gender theory, quote unquote. This policy is put forth for parishes, organizations, and institutions of the Catholic Church in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. As a general rule, in all interactions and policies, parishes, organizations, and institutions are to recognize only a person's biological sex. This policy applies, but is not limited to, all church employees, personnel, volunteers, and those entrusted with the care of the church, including all contracted vendors when they are on site and may have contact with those entrusted to the care of the church. That would be, and this is my addition to this commentary, this would include things or people such as students or patients in hospitals and other medical settings. Designations and pronouns. Any parochial, organizational, or institutional documentation which requires the designation of a person's sex is to reflect that person's biological sex. No person may designate a quote-unquote preferred pronoun in speech or in writing, nor are parishes, organizations, or institutions to permit such a designation. Permitting the designation of a quote-unquote preferred pronoun, while often intended as an act of charity, instead promotes an acceptance of the separability of biological sex and quote-unquote gender, and thus opposes the truth of our sexual unity. Again, this is all under the heading of policy. Bathrooms and locker rooms. All persons must use the bathroom or locker room which matches their biological sex. Archdiocesan parishes, organizations, and institutions are permitted to have individual use bathrooms which are available for all members of the respective community. I think, by the way, this is my addition, that is a very relatively easy way to accommodate and to avoid problems. It would be to have single-use bathrooms, as opposed to common ones, especially in schools where you've got multiple stalls, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe part of the cost of accommodating this new policy would be to simply retrofit these bathrooms to be single-use bathrooms. Could be done. It would cost some money, but it could be done, and it would help to resolve a lot of these potential problems. Attire. All persons are to present themselves in a manner consistent with their God-given dignity. Where a dress code or uniform exists, all persons are to follow the dress code or uniform that accords with their biological sex. Now, some of the yahoos on Twitter, I noticed, when they were yucking it up when this came out and attacking it. One particular nincompoop, he says, well, what about cassocks for priests? You know, kind of making fun of cassocks as if they were dresses, which, of course, they're not. Athletics and extracurriculars. Participation in parish school and extracurricular activities must be conformed with the biological sex of the participant. Some sports and activities may be open to the participation of individuals of both sexes. Single-sex schools, buildings, and other programs and institutions. Admission to single-sex programs, including but not limited to single-sex schools, camps, and retreats, is restricted to persons of the designated biological sex. Dormitories or other single-sex buildings are restricted to persons of the designated biological sex. This is so basic and obvious and true. It's so common sense. It's so naturally, self-evidently true. And yet, believe it or not, and I know it's easy to believe, there are people out there who are howling in indignation.
Yeah, here's one. This is the last straw. I'm now a former Catholic. The church is interfering with the Jesus I know and love. Jesus would not condone this.
Oh, my. I'm tempted to say something, and I won't, because I'm a nice guy. Thank you, Cyrus. You really don't want that on your karmic record.
You really don't.
You really don't. We're almost done. There's just two more bullet points here. Actually, no, one or two more. Medication. No person is permitted to have on-site or to distribute any medications for the purpose of gender reassignment. Also, students and those entrusted to the care of the church are not permitted to take quote-unquote puberty blockers, even if self-administered, on parish or school property with the purpose of potential or actual quote-unquote gender reassignment. Protecting the vulnerable, those entrusted to the care of the church who express a tension between their biological sex and their quote-unquote gender, and others directly affected by this tension, such as parents, guardians, etc., should be directed to appropriate ministers and counselors who will help the person in a manner that is in accord with the directives and teachings of the church. Parishes, schools, and other Catholic institutions or organizations should take the necessary precautions in accord with the policies of this document to avoid bullying and to protect the integrity of those who may express tension or concerns about their biological sex. Now, there's a section after that. That's the end of the document. There's a section on resources, and there's also a glossary, and that can be read very briefly. So I'll read that to you quickly, then we'll take a break. Biological sex is defined as the sex with which a person is born, regardless of acceptance or perceived identity. Gender, as understood by the church, gender is the sociocultural role of sex, and particularly how it informs one's psychological identity. Gender dysphoria is the state in which a person claims to experience an incongruity between physiological identity and biological sex. And lastly, and then we'll take our break, the definition of gender ideology or gender theory, an ideology or theory that denies the difference and reciprocity, an important word there, in nature of a man and a woman and envisages a society without sexual differences, thereby eliminating the anthropological basis of the family. Thus, quote-unquote gender ideology or quote-unquote gender theory promote a personal identity and emotional intimacy radically separated from the biological difference between male and female. Consequently, human identity becomes a choice of the individual, one which can also change over time. Ideologies of this sort, which seek to respond to what are at times understandable aspirations, manage to assert themselves as absolute and unquestionable, even dictating how children should be raised. It needs to be emphasized that biological sex and the sociocultural role of sex, aka gender, can be distinguished but not separated. Cyrus will get this posted for you. Definitely worth your time to read and share this document. And I would like to offer my heartfelt congratulations to Archbishop Listecki and to whatever staff members were involved in the drawing up of this very helpful, timely, and necessary document. Thank you for doing that.
For more of The Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com/Patrick.